Thank you so much. And turn to Ephesians if you have a Bible. And we'll finish this book next Sunday. I think we started in January. And we'll finish it next Sunday. We'll also have the Lord's Supper, communion next Sunday. Where it'll be a part of our last message in the book of Ephesians. Our scripture reading today is in Ephesians 6. Verses 18 through 20, and if you don't have a Bible, we'll have it up on the screen for you. Ephesians 6, 18 through 20. Hear the word of the Lord, praying at all times in the Spirit, with all prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints, and also for me, that words may be given to me in opening my mouth boldly to proclaim the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that I may declare it boldly as I ought to speak. Father, thank you for your word, and what an amazing study this has been in this tiny six-chapter book. It's been a challenge. It's been full of so much great truth, and as we wind it down, this truth is just as important as the rest. And convict us today, challenge us, encourage us as we're in this battle, in this hard world that you've placed us in. Help us to grab hold by your Spirit what it means to go to the throne of grace and talk to God. And to talk to God, you, in the right kind of way. And to listen correctly and to talk to you, Father, about other people in order to be a help to them. So speak now, Lord. Your servants are listening. In Christ's name, amen. This is part four in the armor of God in chapter six. And today we are talking about praying while in the battle. When you think about praying in the battle, you think of communication. And in the battle, in wartime, nothing is more important than communication with the general, with the commander-in-chief. Abraham Lincoln was the first president that was able to use communication on the spot with his officers on the battlefield. Before that, what, you had to give a piece of paper, ride a horse to the battlefield or some kind of carrier. Now, because of the telegraph, Abraham Lincoln could pretty much communicate to his generals and leaders and commanders and soldiers right there on the battlefield. Real-time strategy meetings. Here's what you need to do. Now, from my reading, the Confederate Army had this as well, but they didn't quite have the infrastructure to have it in depth as the Union Army had. In fact, in 1861, the Union Army established the United States Military Telegraph Corps, led by a young man by the name of Andrew Carnegie. The next year alone, they trained 1,200 operators, strung 4,000 miles of wire. Over the next years of the Civil War and on, they stretched thousands of miles of wire. Why? Because they knew of the importance, while you're on the battlefield, to be able to communicate to the commander-in-chief. When General Grant wrote his memoirs, he wrote this, quote, "The moment the troops were in position to go into camp, the men would put up the wires." Now picture that. You're traveling along. I mean, you've been in battles and you might be hungry and you're marching to the next battlefield. And as soon as you get there, the general notices that this crew of men immediately didn't eat, didn't drink, didn't do anything, but they got out their wires and set them up. Why? We need to communicate with the commander in chief. We are in a battle. We are in a war. And that's what we have been seeing in Ephesians 6. We are in a war as children of God. And we've seen in verse 10 that we need the strength of somebody else. Be strong in the Lord and the strength of His might. You can't do it on your own. If you're trying to live this life on your own, you're going to fail eventually. So Paul just tells us, don't live in your strength. God has a strength for you. Then he said, you need to know the armor of God. Know the armor. Know the enemy, Satan. We don't fight against flesh and blood, but against powers in dark places, spiritual forces. So you know your enemy and you know your equipment that we looked at last week, the armor of God. And it's not something that we work harder to put on. We simply put on what has already been given to us, which we've been studying in this whole chapter. But now in verse 18, after telling us all about God's armor that we saw last week, he says, pray in the battle. One scholar wrote these words: no matter how complete the armor, no matter how skilled we may be in the science of war, no matter how courageous we may be certain that without prayer we will be defeated. God alone can give the victory, and when the Christian soldier goes forth armed completely for the spiritual conflict, if he looks to God by prayer, he may be sure of a triumph. This prayer is not to be intermitted or not to stop. It is to be always. In every temptation and spiritual conflict, we are to pray. Isn't that amazing? We can put on the shield of faith and the gospel shoes of peace and all that we talked about last week. We can know our enemy, the devil, this invisible spiritual force and all of his demonic powers that go along with him. We can do all of that, but if we don't pray, we are going to be defeated. I think if I had every one of you get out a piece of paper and write down the top three things that you struggle with spiritually, I bet every one of us would have prayer on there. You think? How much time do we spend praying? How much time do we spend alone with God? How often do we pray for all these folks sitting around us? How often do we take other people's names before the throne of grace and know what they're going through, as we'll see in this passage? So what a great reminder at the end of this awesome letter, the book of Ephesians, of praying in the battle. Just real simple today. Don't you like simple? I do. All right. First of all, there is never a time not to pray. Now, I got a double negative up there, don't I? But deal with it. All right. There's never a time not to pray. We should always be praying. Look at what it says in verse 18. You've put on the armor that God has already given you. You're using what has been given. And then he says, praying at all times. Praying. Praying is talking to God. Praying is asking God for things. Praying is not only talking, but it is listening to the commander, our king, our master and savior. So as soldiers put on the armor that we've already been given, our goal is to go out in the mission on the battlefield of our commander. So what do we need to do? We need to know that the wires have been set up on the battlefield. We need to talk to our commander in chief. Paul put it this way in 2 Timothy 2. Share in suffering as a good soldier of Christ Jesus. Why did Paul call us soldiers? Because it's a battlefield. This life is hard. This life hurts. There is pain in this life. People fail us. People lie to us. People contradict what they tell us. People, you know, let us down. And we do that to others. We're disappointed. Sickness comes. Death comes. People fail. People fall on the battlefield. Life is hard. That's why he says it's being a soldier. And we have an enemy. This invisible enemy we talked about a couple of weeks ago. Our goal and mission is to follow him. So we share in the suffering as a good soldier of Christ Jesus. No soldier gets entangled in civilian pursuits, since his aim is to please the one who enlisted him. So God chose us, enlisted us in his army. So he set up the wires. He set up the wires. And we communicate to the commander-in-chief because our goal is to please him. And I think using the term soldier, Paul reminds us this is not a game. Church is not a game. Walking with Jesus is not a game. Saying us we are Christians is not a game. This is hard. We are in a battlefield, but the victory's already been won on the cross. But notice what else he says in verse 18. So talking to God, listening to God, praying at all times. Oh, there's never a time not to pray. It's the Greek word kairo, which Paul used four or five other times in this letter, which is the word for season. There is never a season of our life where we shouldn't pray. It was the word opportunity or occasion or the suitable time. So there's always a time to pray. So we are to be talking to God in every season of life because God put up the wires on the battlefield through the death of His Son. He ever lives to make intercession for us. He is our intercessor. There's only one intercessor between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. So we talk to Him at all times in every season. Now you're asking a question, aren't you? How does God communicate to us? I'm talking to God in prayer. Do we hear a voice? Go to Fifth Street. There's a man there. Talk to him. I've never heard a voice. I do believe God does minister to us by His Spirit within us. But how does the Spirit of God speak to us when we pray? Through His Word that He wrote. That's how He communicates to us. So praying in God's Word always goes together. You can never pray, God, give me the strength to kill that guy tomorrow at work. It's not God's word. Give me the strength to really deceive that girl at work tomorrow so I can get ahead. No, because it doesn't it's not in line with God's word. So we talk to God and we listen to Him because we know what He's already told us in His word. And I do believe there is a supernatural act that goes on when we are in serious prayer. I love Psalm 62, verse 8. Trust in Him at all times, O people. Oh, the shield of faith. Pour out your heart before Him. Wow. Pour out your heart. Today, Amanda walked in and said, boy, those flowers are hurting out there. I didn't even see the flowers. So I got a pitcher of water and I just poured it out in there. I don't know, they might still be dead next week, but they look like they might have a little life in them. So the psalmist says, just like you take a pitcher and pour it out, you take your heart, you take your burdens, you take your soul, and you go before God and you just pour them out. We used to have a lady in our church years ago. Her name was Helen Baugh, B-A-U-G-H. Helen, how you doing? Well, you better take a seat. You know, and you better be prepared, you know, because, and her breath was horrible, so you had to stand back a little bit. So anyway, you know, Helen, we loved her, very faithful, great couple. They were like 187, and they were just amazing couple. But have you ever had somebody, you know, just, okay, I've got to go finally. God says, I'm always here. Pour out your heart to me. You see, a Christian may be lonely, but they are never alone. What a great verse. Pour out your heart before Him. Then the last part of Psalm 62 says, God is a refuge for us. He's a refuge. He's a refuge. I was at the graveside yesterday and forgot to sunscreen my head. And the sun was just beating down. And after the service, I saw one of the funeral directors was standing in the shade. And I said, he's pretty smart. So that was my refuge. Ah. It's a place for safety. It's a place for protection. When I used to fuel airplanes, I'd get under the big wing and just stand there in the Florida sun. Wow, this is a refuge. This is great. God is our refuge. The psalmist says, our Lord is a strong tower. We run into Him and we are safe. Isn't it wonderful to lay your head on your pillow at night? And I know my wife goes outside and under the stars and prays, and sometimes at night we can't find her. Well, I know where she's outside praying. To know that God is a refuge, I can run into Him and I can pour out my heart to Him. And like Tim Denton said several months ago, there's no prayer police around saying, you said that wrong. He's just there saying, talk to me. And He knows exactly what we're saying. And you can tell Him how you hurt and where your burdens are and who you're concerned about. And God just says, there is never a time not to pray on the battlefield. Because when you're on the battlefield, there needs to be a lot of praying. A lot of praying. I love Philippians 4:6. Do not be anxious about anything. Don't worry about anything. Anybody worry about anything this week? Yeah. That's tough, isn't it? You catch yourself worrying. Oh, what am I doing? Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication. Supplication is a big Greek word, which just means specific prayers. But with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And He'll sit down, and if your breath is bad, He'll still listen. Talk to me. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. There's never a time on the battlefield not to pray. So, we do find ourselves facing many different seasons in life, don't we? We do. Praying at all times, Cairo, seasons. We go through different seasons. So let me ask ourselves a question. Are you going through a season? Are we going through a season right now? We haven't talked to God about it. We haven't talked to Him a lot about it. Secondly, there's never a time to pray selfishly. Now, I'll be the first to confess, I'm a pretty selfish guy. Right? Are you selfish? I want the biggest bowl of ice cream. You know, I'm just selfish, you know. And I fight it every day. We all fight every second of the day to not be selfish. But notice what he says here, verse 18. Praying in all seasons, no matter what God takes you through, what's the next three words? In the Spirit. Ooh, so that means I have to turn invisible and float around? Oh, no. That's not what that means. Someone put it this way. It is changing my affections and conforming my heart to His. When I pray in the Spirit of God is leading me. I am not praying selfishly. This is what I want. This is the way I think it should be. It is, I am praying, God, change my affections, change my desires, change the goal of my life to fit in perfectly with what You want in my life. So our praying at all seasons, in all seasons, is to be directed by God's Spirit, which the Spirit of God will always to direct us to pray from the book He wrote, the Bible, and it will always be exactly what the Father wants. We're guaranteed of that. Let me read Romans 8:27. Do you know that the Holy Spirit is constantly praying for you? Listen to this amazing verse. Talking about the Holy Spirit. He who searches hearts, that's the Spirit, know what is the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. So when you don't know what to pray, the Spirit of God is praying to God the Father exactly what you and I need. So sometimes we just need to say, Lord, answer the Spirit of God's prayer for me. Because I just don't know what to pray in this situation. Isn't it awesome that Jesus is praying for us? The Spirit of God is praying for us. And we can pray in the Spirit if we pray according to the Word of God. That's an amazing truth. Someone else said praying in the Spirit is to interact with the Lord by switching human wishes or ideas for His wishes as He imparts faith or divine persuasion. So when you and I pray, we need to ask God, change my heart. Because I may not want what God wants. You know, I'm convinced that there are times in our life, seasons, where we're just not too happy where God put us. Anybody ever been there? Oh, yeah. We're just not saying Philippians 4:6 with thanksgiving. You know what? I wish You wouldn't have let this happen. I wish You wouldn't have brought this into my life. Maybe it's with our jobs. Maybe something in our family. Maybe something with our health. How about the government? Oh, right? You know, it's amazing we're surviving. Isn't it just amazing? It's just amazing. Lord, I don't like the way it is now. How about just the things, your material possessions? How about your finances? How about unexpected things that enter into the seasons of our life? How about even our own sin and our own mess-ups? We will admit that, won't we? That there are seasons we do not like. But what does this say? Praying in every season, according to how the Spirit of God would direct us to pray, according to the book the Spirit of God wrote. You know what that kind of prayer is? Change my affections. Change my desires. Help me to see my life, God, as You see it. Use me in the season You put me in. And help me to glorify and magnify Your Son, even though I'm down here suffering. See, most of us, when we go through suffering, we just want out. I got shown this week, I know this is kind of gross, but I'm going to tell you anyway. So if you have a queasy stomach, just close your ears. It's not that bad. I got shown this week a crematorium where when somebody's cremated, where they put the body. It's not anything what I envisioned in my mind. I envisioned this huge round furnace with flames. It's nothing like that at all. But they even turned on the flame for me. It sounds like a jet engine starting. And they had this big robe, not a robe, but like a, what do you call that when you put it over you and the welders put it on you? What do you call it? Blanket or an apron? Not a blanket. That'd burn you up. An apron. And they said it's so hot, you can't hardly reach in there because you have to, I won't tell you what they have to do. It's so hot. So what do you do when you get near the heat? Oh, I don't like that. That's what I do. I imagine I'll be doing that one day. I'm in the heat. Get back. It hurts. It's hot. Isn't that usually what you want when God puts you in the heat? That's what I want. I'm not liking this, Lord. I didn't want this in my life. I didn't plan this. But what is the armor? God, you brought me here. It hurts. I've been broken. I've been disappointed. My heart is crushed. God, help me not to back away, but help me to stay in the flame as long as you have me there. And may others see that I love you more than anything. And you're going to look so big. And people will say, how did he or she make it through that? It's because they have a wonderful, faithful God. It's because we're on our knees and we're pouring out our heart in every season. Too many Christians want to just bail. But part of the armor is praying, not selfishly, get me out of this, but God, help me to stand, help me to glorify you. So let me ask you this question. What season has God brought you in today? Are your prayers selfish? Don't let this happen because I won't be able to take it. Or are your prayers, God, change my heart to be right in line with what you're doing. Thirdly, and the last thing, there is never anyone who doesn't need our prayers. There's never anyone who doesn't need our prayers. You know, you look around you and week after week, people come in and out of this building and we see each other during the week and all these people you see around you, including me, need you praying for us, right? You pray for me? Amen. Do you think I can do this without you going to the throne of grace and saying, Lord, help that guy. He doesn't know what he's doing. He needs wisdom. You ever pray, God, protect me? You see, if we look around, and even those who aren't able to be here today, are you praying for them? Oh, look at the rest of our verse. Well, praying in every season as directed by the Spirit of God in that season with every kind of prayer and supplication, prayers of thanksgiving, prayers of confession, prayers for protection, every type of prayer you can think of, and supplication, that's specific needs. To that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making specific prayers for all the saints. Woo! Why is this so important? Because what's the battlefield full of? Flaming arrows, we've learned. And Satan has an innumerable army of fallen angels, we know from the Word of God, at his disposal. He can only be at one place at a time, so he has his army that does his work. Remember, he's already been defeated on the cross, but he still hangs around. Remember, the enemy's a dragon. The devil's called a serpent, a deceiver, a murderer, a liar. The devil never has compassion or mercy. The devil never lets up. He will flee, James tells us, but he comes back. And what do we see in life? I wrote down a few. We see people beaten all the time. We see people wounded on the battlefield. We see people, as it were, laying on the battlefield and can't get up. Some of those walk into churches every week and look good on the outside, but on the inside, they're just broken. We see teens and children being snatched away by the enemy. The enemy's offers of pleasure, sensuality, and every fleshly temporal desire. We see people who sit on the sidelines and only watch. We see pastors and elders and church officials leaving their wives, embezzling from their churches, leading sinful lives. We see the busyness of Christians' lives crowding out any time to serve their commander and savior. We see very little heartbrokenness over our own sin. We see very little heartbrokenness over people who are lost all around us. You see, there is never anyone who doesn't need our prayers. So Paul says, with all types of prayers and specific needs, and he says, you keep alert for these people and for yourself. Keep, the Greek word is, keep watching. No sleeping. Keep watching. And then I love how he says, perseverance. With all perseverance. That simply means never ever quit. If you're a long distance runner like I am, you know what that word means. Don't quit. Don't quit. Be persistent. Be persistent. Why does he say be persistent in our prayers? Have you ever noticed that sometimes your prayers don't get answered? Anybody? Remember throughout Scripture there are occasions where godly people prayed and got no answer yet? Remember in Daniel? When the answer finally came, the angel said, we heard your prayer and we sent the answer, but there was a cosmic fight up here with the evil angels and it was delayed. So we don't know what's going on. So be persistent. Is it in the book of Revelation when they cried out to God, how long will you not avenge those who have been killed for the cause of Christ? And what was the answer? Well, you just keep at it. I'll take care of it. I've got other people that need to suffer first. I've heard your prayers. And sometimes we quit praying because we lose patience. So Paul says wonderfully, you persevere. You keep talking in every season in specific prayers. You stay alert and you watch. But notice who we're to do that for in verse 18. For all the saints. And by the way, a saint is not somebody who died and the church made them a saint. In the Bible, it's from the Greek word, I think, hagios, holy. If you're saved, you're a saint. You're set apart for God. So you and I are to pray for each other. For all the saints. And remember in our study of Ephesians, how God brought the Jews and the Gentiles together because they hated each other? We talked about that several weeks ago. For all the saints, Jews and Gentiles, black, white, green, yellow, Asian, whatever. There is no distinction, male, female, rich, poor. There's no distinction in the gospel. So for every single person, we're to watch and be persistent and pray. How about even people we don't like too well? You ever had some of those when you pray and you have stuff coming out of your, Lord bless them, or I can't stand them. Wow. When did God answer Job's prayers? Remember his buddies that came to try to help Job and all his suffering, and they were all wrong? When did God answer his prayer? When Job prayed for his friends who were totally wrong and brought misery upon. So no sleeping, persistent, all of us. Do you pray for the children in this church? Do you pray for the parents? Do you pray for our marriages? Do you pray for the pastors, the elders? Do you pray for teachers? Do you pray for people that work in the sound booth? And what do you pray for each other? For all the saints. And why is there also the need for persistence? Because the war is never going to end until the rapture or the second coming, whichever you want to call it, we're snatched up. So the war never ends, so the praying never ends until the war is over. Now we know in the end who wins, right? In Revelation. And Paul shared a specific request in verses 19 and 20, and that was, and pray also for me that words may be given in opening my mouth to boldly proclaim the mystery of the gospel, for I'm an ambassador of the gospel in chains, I may declare it boldly that I ought to speak. That's what he wanted people to pray for him, that he would share the gospel. That was his specific request. A pastor told me once in World War II that they would go buy like hamburgers, I think for a nickel or something. They'd buy a bunch of hamburgers and cheeseburgers. And they would go to this chapel. And all into the evening and all night into the morning, people would come and go and come and know. What were they praying for? Their boys over in the battlefield. They were staying awake and staying alert. I mean, I wouldn't mind getting a burger for a nickel, but that wasn't the point. I thought, what a neat story. To just see people coming and even bringing their kids and going to this chapel and all night. Why are they doing that? Because their boys and their ladies were in a battle. That's what Paul's saying here. We're in a battle. Week after week they did that. I've tried on occasion over the years when I pastored churches that had church buildings. We're only here on Sunday. But to just have like a Wednesday night prayer meeting. That's all we're going to do. And it never worked. A, people wouldn't come. B, people wouldn't pray who did come. It's kind of sad, isn't it? We call it prayer meeting. Paul says, pray for all the saints. And I hear some people saying, well, you know, I can be a Christian, but I don't really have to come to church. I don't have to be around the church. Well, how do you pray for each other? The neat thing about being a part of a family is I know you. And I know who to pray. I know how to pray for you. I pray for your children. And some of you have older children that by name I pray for, that God would save them. And I know when you're going through trials. And I know when you're going through struggles. And so I pray for you. If I didn't know you, I couldn't pray for you. So we need to get together so we can fulfill this part of the armor to pray for all of the saints. It's neat in the book of Acts. Remember when Peter was thrown in prison? Remember what the church did? The church went putt-putt golfing. The church went and watched the race. I'm not saying anything wrong with putt-putt golfing and watching the race. You know what the church did in Acts 12? It says the church gathered together to pray for him. Wow. What did God do? His chains fell off. God did a miracle. He went there where they were praying. And the other verse says he found them all praying for him. He knocked on the door and a young lady came. And what'd she go? What'd she say? Well, I forget. Was it, she say Peter was at the door. Nobody believed her. Is that a, wow. Somebody once said, you know, they had a prayer meeting. They were going to pray for rain. And the preacher said, where's your umbrellas? You know, sometimes we just don't really believe God's going to answer prayer. But we need to get together. Know each other. Know where people are suffering so that we can go to the throne of grace and pray the Spirit of God's prayer for them because we were in a battle and are in a battle. There is never anyone who doesn't need our prayers. Well, let me read this quote again. No matter how complete the armor, no matter how skilled we may be in the science of war, no matter how courageous we may be certain that without prayer we will be defeated. God alone can give the victory, and when the Christian soldier goes forth armed completely for the spiritual conflict, if he looks to God by prayer, he may be sure of a triumph. This prayer is not to be intermitted or stopped. It is to be always. In every temptation and spiritual conflict, we are to pray. Pray. There's never a time not to pray. What season are you in right now? Are you praying? Are we praying? Are you praying selfishly? Or are you praying, God, change my heart. Help me to see this struggle as you see it, that I might grow and change and bring you glory. Are you praying for one another? Who have we stopped praying for? Who have we never started praying for? Who have we given up on? Are you praying for your kids? You send them off to school every day? You send them out on that sports team with that coach. I tell you, our kids live in a scary world, do they not? We send them off to college. College is a scary world. Not to alarm you, Rhonda, but we're praying for you. And you too. Praying for your kids. Are you praying for your wife? How many times do we complain about our pastor, our elders, our church, our husbands, our wives, our kids, our co-workers, our bosses, our government, and we've never gone to the throne of grace and prayed for them? We won't have a show of hands. How many times have we prayed about the sea or complained about the season God put us in, but never got on our knees and said, God, I'm so frail. Help me to see my life as you see it. Wow, what a great reminder. Well, let's pray. Father, what an awesome book. What a great reminder. We're in a battle. We have an enemy that hates us with a passion. And Christ came and died on Calvary's cross, bore the wrath of our sin, your wrath, Father, that we might by faith repent of those sins and trust you, which defeats the devil, the enemy. Forgives us our sin and grants us to no condemnation, justified in your sight, forgiven for every sin, past, present, and future. But that enemy hangs around. Lord, I pray if there's any here today on the battlefield that are broken and hurt, that you'd renew their faith and strength. Take up that shield of faith. To realize who they are in Christ. And if they're not saved, may you open their heart and save them. Or maybe today there's many here that we know our prayer life is not too good. I pray that there'd be a lot of repenting going on and some commitments made that we're going to start praying for one another and praying for our kids and our church family and our neighbors and our coworkers and learning of each other's lives and taking those needs and praying that we would have your heart in our season of difficulty. So God, change our heart. And as we sing our closing song, I pray the Spirit of God would minister to each and every heart. And then we would pray to you and talk to you and respond how you've spoken to us today. So I'm going to say amen, but we're not finished. I pray your Spirit would continue to work in Christ's name.